I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. Attended by all the shining angels down the flaming sky, the judge will come and will take his people where they will not die. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning.
Thank you, men, for the encouraging reminder of that glorious morning that is coming. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this special anniversary edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm delighted to have you with me as we begin our 52nd year of broadcasting. This is a milestone we could never have reached except by the grace of God and by your faithful prayers and partnership. During this anniversary month, we're offering to you a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, Volume 1, when you send a donation of any amount during this month of June. I'll give you our contact information at the end of the program, so stay tuned. Your partnership is touching lives all around the world, in places like Venezuela, Malawi, Nepal, Pakistan, China, Nigeria, Morocco, and many others. Tens of thousands are hearing the gospel each week in their native language. I want you to listen to this amazing testimony from a listener in Turkey. He writes, "I work at a car repair garage in a radical religious area. I don't have any education, so I started to work when I was very young. I listened to the radio a lot. One day, a customer told me about your station and said, I have to listen, and I will understand later why he said that. But the first time I listened to your radio program, my boss was very upset because you were talking about being a Christ follower. But I was wondering what you are saying, and I started to listen in secret with my headphones. After a month of listening to you, I decided to give my heart to Jesus." Isn't that a glorious testimony? Another seeker has found the Lord, and you, my friend, had a part in making this possible. God bless you. Let's rejoice together in the deep love of Jesus.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in his fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current. love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean full of blessing, 'tis a heaven giving rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. Yes, it lifts me up to thee.
Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a study from Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 to 27. This isn't a long portion of scripture, but it is a very detailed one. So we weren't able to finish our teaching on this text. Our study was titled, The Skill to Understand. In a few moments, we'll return to that study. If you missed the program last week, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. You can also request an audio CD or a printed copy of the teaching, and I'll tell you how you can receive yours at the close of the program. As we resume our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 to 27. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Another important question that arises in this text is, when did the 69 weeks begin? Well, we don't need to wonder about this, because Gabriel gives a very specific answer in verse 25. Here it is. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's our 69 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. If we can locate this command or decree to restore and build Jerusalem, then we have a starting point for the 69 weeks of years, and we can accurately determine the specific time announced by Gabriel. Some interpreters point to the decrees of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes that are recorded in the book of Ezra. But if you read them carefully, there is no reference to rebuilding the city. It's only to rebuild the temple. And even that building was stopped for a time because the Jews were accused of rebuilding the city. You can read about that in Ezra chapter 4. Now, without going into all the varied interpretations of when this decree was given, I believe there's only one decree in the entire Old Testament that fits Gabriel's words. If you carefully read the opening verses of Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, you'll find it. As you may recall, Nehemiah was serving as the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, and the report came to him from his brethren on the condition of the walls of the city, and it aroused in him a deep concern. In fact, it moved him so much that he spent time in prayer and fasting. That's recorded in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, his sad face alerts the king that something is wrong. And when the king inquires the reason for his sadness, Nehemiah shares his reasons, and he makes a request. This is what he said to the king. May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Now let's notice when this decree was issued. Nehemiah records precisely, chapter 2 and verse 1, that it was in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Encyclopedia Britannica, which is certainly not a proponent of Judeo-Christian values, sets the date of Artaxerxes' accession to the throne as 465 BC. That means his 20th year would be 445 BC. And according to Jewish custom, since no day date is specified in the text, it was the first day of the month. In our Roman calendar, the date would be March 14th, 445 BC. Here, I believe we have the beginning of the 70 weeks that Gabriel spoke about. So let's do a bit of review. We've discovered that the 70 weeks are weeks of years. We've learned that a biblical year has 12 months of 30 days, or 360 days. And we just discovered that these 70 weeks of years began on March 14th, 445 BC. These discoveries enable us to calculate the chronology of this prophecy. And for the computation of this prophecy, we're indebted to Sir Robert Anderson. In his book, The Coming Prince, he sets forth the following. In order to find the end of the 69 weeks, that is, the 7 weeks plus the 62 weeks, we must reduce them to days. Since we have 69 weeks of 7 years each, and each year has 360 days, the equation would be this: 69 times 7 times 360. And that equals 173,880 days. Now, Anderson lays out his calculations in detail in his book on pages 95 to 105, and he makes the adjustments from the biblical calendar to our current calendar. Beginning with March 14th, 445 BC, this number of days brings us to April 6th, 32 AD. And here's his conclusion. April 6th, 32 AD was the 10th of Nisan, the momentous day when our Lord, in fulfillment of messianic prophecy, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey colt and presented himself as the Prince and King of Israel. Some critics have sneered at Anderson's work, but they have never refuted his calculations. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 19 and read the verses that record what we call the triumphal entry. This is a rather lengthy portion, but I believe it's critical to our understanding of this event as the fulfillment of Gabriel's prophecy, at least in part. I'll begin reading at verse 29. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus knew this was his day. This was the day he was to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. So he sent the disciples to get the colt on which, according to Zechariah, he must appear as king. That the multitudes understood the significance of Jesus' act is very clear because they immediately begin to shout a quotation from Psalm 118:26. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now please recall that quite early in Jesus' ministry, after the feeding of the 5,000, the crowd wanted to take him by force and make him a king. And Jesus didn't accept that. It says he went away into the mountains. But now, in response to the Pharisees' complaint about the acclamation of the crowd, what does Jesus say? He says, If these should keep silent, then the stones would immediately cry out. In other words, Jesus is accepting the acclamation of the people. He's admitting that it's now time for this proclamation of himself as king. And his tears and lament over the city, to me, are poignant proof. Notice specifically what Jesus said. If you had known even you, especially in this your day. This specific day was on God's calendar for his ancient chosen earthly people. And they missed it. How tragic are the words, you did not know the time of your visitation. There's so much more here we could look at, but we have to keep moving. After telling Daniel about the 70 sevens to come, Gabriel outlines what will happen during this time period. So let's look at what he said, and we'll take it in two parts. First, the 70 weeks will be a time to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and make reconciliation for iniquity. Here, we see the linking of three different words for sin, with the clear indication that a conclusion of sorts is being reached. Evidently, during this period of the 77s, God will end Israel's course of apostasy and sin and the resulting judgment of their wandering the earth. And this is indeed what Daniel was praying about. But the ultimate fulfillment of Daniel's prayers won't be realized until that final 70th week. The final statement of the first three, to make reconciliation for iniquity, seems to clearly refer to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Here's how Paul describes this reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." The Hebrew word, kippur, when used in relation to sin, is understood by theologians and scholars to mean things like cover, wipe out, to make inoperative, or to annul. On the positive side, it includes the reinstating of God's favor. It speaks of freedom from sin and a restoration to holiness. This provision was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but revealed much more fully at the cross. However, as Jesus noted, Israel as a nation rejected him and will only embrace him nationally at his second coming.
Jerusalem, the golden, with milk and honey blessed, beneath thy contemplation, sink heart and voice oppressed. I know not, oh, I know not what joys await us there, what radiancy of glory, what bliss beyond compare. O sweet and blessed country, the home of God's elect, O sweet and blessed country that eager hearts expect, Jesus in mercy bring us to that land of rest, who art with God the Father and Spirit ever blessed.
My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. If you missed the program last week, the first part of this teaching, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to it at your convenience. You can also request an audio CD or a printed copy of this teaching, The Skill to Understand. You may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your comments to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the Contact Us button that's right on our homepage. And there's also a place there for you to submit a personal prayer request. Now remember, June is our anniversary month, so all this month you can request a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, Volume 1, when you send a donation of any amount. Just ask for the anniversary CD and we'll know what you mean. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. And don't forget, this month you can request a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, when you send a donation of any amount. Just ask for the anniversary CD, and we'll know what you mean. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I look forward to you next week here on the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, The Skill to Understand. And until we meet again,
why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free.